Very good. Okay, I was remiss this morning. I am repenting before all of you. Not about everything. No, just a little bit. This is my beloved wife, Roxanne. She's never been out here. This is my third trip out here, and how cool that she was able to make it out, work it out in that. The day I got saved is the best day of all days. It's the day I will look at for eternity. The day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit is right up there close to that. And she is shaking her head yes, because that is a story that you should hear sometime. I'm telling you. Okay. But getting married to her is right up there. And what she has put up with in my walk with the Lord, she never got rid of me when she should have. I got to tell you, the first 10 years of our marriage was an absolute wreck. She was living with a psychopath. That wasn't a joke. That was a reality. She's blessed. She put up with me for a long time. And so anyway, I give a lot of kudos and credence right there on that woman. And she still puts up with me, hallelujah. And she even tells me she loves me. And I don't think she's a liar, so that must be true. So, that's all good. Let's pray first. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. You are a mighty and an awesome God. And I love you so dearly. Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, may I remember everything I need to remember. And speak everything I need to speak. And Lord, may your Spirit touch lives in a mighty way. And Lord, I'll give you praise and glory for all of that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. There was a day when I used to go to churches and prophesy over every person in the room. I believe in prophecy. I believe strongly in being able to hear the Word of God and give it and deliver it to people. I believe in that. Okay. One day I was heading to this church, and the Lord said, prophesy over nobody. And I reminded the Lord as if he had forgotten. I was living, and I reminded the Lord, yeah, right, okay. I reminded the Lord, that is why they called me, is to come up and speak prophetically into their church in every person. Remember that? You know? Lord? Hello? You know, and he says, no. He says, they have learned to seek after the man of God, and I want them to seek after the God of man. He says, I will not have you replacing me. Change my whole view of prophecy. Do I still believe in it? Oh, yeah. Do I still do it? I am. As God kicks me into gear and throws me into that place, I will definitely just go for that. But I've learned something deeper. And I want you to really hear this. I've learned something very much deeper. Which would be better for you to hear me hear from God or you hear from God? You hear from God. That's much better. Why? Because, you see, as of Tuesday, I'm going to get on an airplane and go back to Colorado. And you're going to be left standing without a prophetic word if you're trusting in me. If you're trusting in Him, you're going to hear His word. Why don't we hear the way we should? See, that's a good question. That's one of those, that's a knockdown, drag-out question, man. That's a good question. Why don't we hear the way we should? I'm going to explain it to you today. I'm going to show you how to change it. Here's another thing that I've learned. Any theology that cannot be practically applied is a useless theology that builds up intellect. One more time for those of you on drugs. Any theology, depends on what the drug is, right? If it can't be practically applied to a life, then it is useless theology that just makes people think big. And it doesn't help a life. I don't like that, but I am a theologian. I love theology, but man, it better be practically applied, but it better be all over the Word. Man, you gotta build things off a foundation of what the Word of God says. Amen? So, now that you said amen and you've committed yourself to that. See, that was called a setup. You know, I did this one day. This is has nothing to do with the subject. I went through from Genesis 1:1 and read all the way through maps. Now that's reading. No, all the way through maps. Not in one day. No, I wish. Yeah, I'll be like, no. And I looked through every verse for every name of God I could find. Okay? 318 names of God is what I found. John Paul Jackson came up with 365, which is how many days are on a year. And I looked at his list, and there are a few that aren't quite names of God, but they are whatever. Okay? It's all cool. But anyway, it's a whole bunch of names of God, isn't it? I wanted to know who he was, because who he is who his name is. And there's some names of God in there that are just downright mean. He is, according to Exodus 34, my name is jealous. It's his name is jealous. Why? He wants you for himself. He doesn't want to share you with anyone. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? Powerful. You get to know who he is. Now, we're going to talk about the power of the blessing. Well, why would we do that? Well, because, see, I have learned one thing I do is I do weapons. One thing, first thing that Mike ever learned of me when he first met me was that I like swords, knives, spears, slings, arrows. Hey, I like weapons. So when I start looking at the scripture, if I know that there's a warfare, I want to have the best weapons. I want to know what I'm doing in my fight. To date, the most powerful weapon I have ever found is the blessing. People go, really? Are you kidding? What in the world is the blessing for? I mean, why? How powerful is that? That's what we say when somebody sneezes.
Bless you.
Well, that's powerful, wasn't it? Well, it had almost no faith behind it and had no anything else behind it. That's what we think about when we think of the blessing. Oh, we need to learn some things because I wanted to show you this. Wielding power is huge. Who are you? You are a very powerful person. The Greek word for the word blessing is eulogeo. It comes from two words. E-U is you, means good. Logeo, to speak the word, logos, boom. Eulogeo is to speak good. That wasn't very deep. Oh, really? We have the power to speak life and death. Why? Because we have been created in the image of God. How did God create? He spoke it into existence. So what has he given you? The power to create. The power to speak things into existence. Oh, but we don't know that. So we got to learn how. We can change the things around us. Look at your situation. Look at anything that's around you. The chances are it's there because you spoke it into existence. And we've got to learn this, folks. This is powerful. When I was thinking about all these wonderful things that we should be doing when I come out here, there's certain pet things that just come around me. My email address is blesseddie777@gmail.com. Why? Because if you write me, you're going to have to bless me. Took care of that, huh? No, because there's a lot of junk comes through blessing. You got to get something out of it that comes from emails. There's a lot of junk out of there. I do things different. We have the power of creation. We can change things. We can create them. It's just too powerful. God gave us this authority to use. He gave it to us. I'm going to prove that to you. Okay? He told us to choose what we want in our lives. He told us to. You choose what you want. What do you want? I'll prove that to you too. We can affect our lives and the lives of the people around us. Why should I walk through life down, depressed, messed up, and ineffective when he's called me to be an overcomer? What part of overcoming does that work out? You know?
Well, I'm just an overcomer.
Boy, doesn't it feel like it? An overcomer does what? Overcomes. Brilliant. Isn't that brilliant? You should stitch that into a sampler and put that on your wall. You know, that's a good one. We are the agents of change on this here planet. We need to study it. We need to get this deep in our hearts because the Scripture is full of this. It's full of the blessing, full of what's going on with it. It's important to the Lord. Now, whenever I talk to Him and I say, Lord, what do you have to say to somebody? What's the key to prophecy? The key to prophecy is to find out how the Lord loves somebody and what the Lord would say to them through His love. That's the key to prophecy. You want to prophesy? Love them. Most people who prophesy have this, I am the voice of God. I'm here to point out your sin. If pointing out your sin will truly love you, then God will help you see your sin. But you want to know something? Most of us don't need that because we already know our sin. If you don't, talk to me. We'll deal with that little issue right there. I don't have any sin in my life. Just go ahead and just bring that up. Double dog dirty dare you. Just come on. There are attributes that must not be ignored in how this whole thing functions. Okay? Our culture is not a blessing culture. But it is a cursing culture. Man, we curse easily. We curse all over the place. We don't know how to bless. We just don't. We don't know how the power of this thing works. Now, if you really want to see somebody in power, you read about somebody who's speaking power. Almost every single time they're speaking power, they're speaking a curse. If they've got power over them, they're speaking, what are they doing? They're speaking negatively. They're blasting with them. They're just, you know, and some guy said this, and I said, and they come up with these curses. See, we believe in the power of the curse. We don't believe in the power of the blessing. But we are readily cursed without even realizing it. We curse, we curse, we curse, we curse. It's an amazing thing. We are so used to the curse that we're numb to it. When I start teaching on this, it's amazing how we start finding out, wow, I've been cursing every day, all day long. I'm good at it. I am talented at cursing. Amazing to me, because blessings feel awkward. As people of God, shouldn't the blessings be the one thing we're used to doing and the curse feel awkward? Why are we the other direction? There's a reason why. There's a reason why. Jeremiah 6:16, one of my favorite scriptures of all time, says this. So says Jehovah. Now, whenever you have a verse that says, so says Jehovah, okay, by the way, I'm going to do this right now before I get any other, because I've had to deal with this very strong in my church. Is the name of God Jehovah? Probably not. Okay, people go, what's the tetragrammaton? Because they have the YHWH thing, and so they say his name is Yahweh. I can tell you decisively his name was not Yahweh. People go, wow, how'd you get that? Well, for one, because this is all out of the Hebrew, and there's no W sound in Hebrew. So even if it was close, it'd be Yahweh, not Yahweh. See, I get this because people are telling me, you don't know how to say the name of God. Jehovah is not in the Scriptures. They added all these vowels along with it when they printed the Gutenberg Bible. I mean, these people get all wrapped up in it. So if you're going to mispronounce it Yahweh, then I can mispronounce it Jehovah and still be okay. Okay? Here's the deal. How many of you speak Hebrew? No? Oh, hey, we got... Yeah, he's kidding. Aw, shucks, man. I'm kidding. Okay, yeah, well, if you don't speak Hebrew, then don't speak Hebrew. How many of you kind of speak at English? You know, we don't know if we speak English. You speak English? Anybody? Oh, there's a hand. Oh, I can... Yes, hey, right in the right crowd. I'm fine. Get used to raising your hands, okay? It's okay. I promise I won't hurt you badly. You speak English? His name in English is Jehovah. It has been that way since long time ago. We can call him because one thing is true. Out there in the street, people say, I believe in God. Which one? You got to come up with a name. You come up with a name that delineates it. I'll tell you something. It's easy to believe in God. It is not easy to believe in Jesus Christ. And when you start bringing up the name of Jesus to people, okay? Now, we've got to delineate a little bit here. What does the Scripture say? At this verse, it says, and so says YHVH. Okay? So says Yahweh. So says Yahweh. So it says Jehovah. There's no J in Hebrew either. So it would be Yehovah if it was close. Folks, just don't get hung up on these little idiosyncrasies of weirdness in religion. Understand who you're talking about and who you're talking to. Okay? Get rid of the religion part and just know who He is. Okay? Now, if you want to really kill it down, Jesus in the New Testament only called Him one thing. Father. So when it boils down to anything, Abba is the only name we really know. Not bad, huh? Call Him what you will. But the Father God says, whenever you find this in Scripture, these words, so says, you got to pay close attention because God is going to tell you something huge. God is talking. He says, so says Jehovah. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the old path. Now, before we get in, I'll just explain what that means. He said, stand by the ways. We're walking along. It's just minding our own business. We're heading on down the path. And God says, hold it. Just a second. I want you to look at the path you're on. I want you to step off of it for a second. Stand by the ways and see. That's pretty cool. He said, okay, just quit walking for a second and look at what you're walking on. Stand by the ways and see. He says, now ask for the old path, the ancient path, as for the original way. Stop for a second. Look at it and say, you know, it's not working. To quote Dr. Phil, how's that working out for you? Okay? It's not working. So I said, okay, instead of saying, that path, get off of it and ask for the ancient path. And He says, where the good way is. See, God has set us up to walk a certain path. And He's saying, this isn't it. Get off of that one and ask for the ancient path, the way that I've established, that I've set, that's the good path. Let's walk on that one. Isn't that a good invitation? Get off the junk and let's get on the good path where the good way is and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. Now, this morning we found out there's a whole lot of turmoil in our souls, isn't there? Whole bunch. Wait a minute. Ask for the ancient path where the good way is and you'll find rest for your soul. Do it God's way, not man's way, and you'll find rest for your soul. I like rest. I like rest for my soul. I like it when my soul is not in turmoil. I can watch a football game and not be in turmoil. Even when my team is losing. Yeah, people, yeah. My daughter, on the other hand. My daughter Miranda. Yeah, when she's watching a game where it really matters, she is a freak. She is something else. Okay? Very tender, wonder, loving, loves God woman that just freaks out over football. Just as fun. I love to watch her. She's always looking at me, Daddy, fix it! What am I going to do? Just jump down to the stadium and just transport down there and slap the quarterback and say, what are you doing? Am I going to do what? I don't know. Daddy, fix it. What do you want me to do? Okay. I like rest for my soul. I don't like being in turmoil. Majority of us live in turmoil and we're so used to it, we wouldn't know what to do if we didn't have it. Why? It's our norm. It's our norm. Why don't you find out that there can be rest for your soul? Now, there's a scripture in the New Testament that talks about rest for your soul. Anybody remember what it says there? I love this woman. She's all right. Well, and you're all right. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay? Take my yoke. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. When you find all this, you'll find rest for your soul. Doing it His way. Take my yoke. Now, that word for yoke there does not mean you get in with another ox. Okay? This is a Hebrew term that means take my way of doing ministry. It was a yoke of a certain rabbi. Any rabbi had a certain thing that you took on the yoke of Hillel. You took on the yoke of Shammah. You took on the yoke of a certain rabbi because you learned how to live his way. That was called taking on his yoke. And Jesus says, now take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn how to live meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I like this thing. We've got to find rest for our souls in the ancient path, not in the ways we've been walking. But look how they responded. But they said, nah, we're not going to walk in it. That's heavy. That is really heavy. Check out the path you're walking on. It's something to really look at. Ask for the ancient paths that God determined. Ask for those. And the rest for your souls, which is really, really good, will be yours. I like the idea of having rest for my soul. Not in turmoil. Not in turmoil. But let's look at the paths offered. Let's look at how did God... Now, he said, I set up an ancient path. Look at that one. It's good. Well, let's look at it. When did he set up an ancient path? When did he do that? When did he tell us? Okay, it's right. It's simple. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at this. If you're into your scriptures, all right, go ahead and look at this, man. Get your Bible open. Pop it open. Get your phone out. Find it on your app. See, you do that nowadays. People don't carry Bibles, they carry their phones. Okay? So I'm at a meeting yesterday with Mike down there, and we look up something in the Greek, and I couldn't. I had wireless connections that were secured, so I had my phone to people, to Steve and Donna, and I said, what's your password? So I could get on my Bible right. Hello. What a difference, you know? It's better than carrying on a Strong's concordance everywhere you go. Hallelujah. I used to do that. I really did. Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 14, it says, for the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now, we've heard that in the New Testament, huh? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's in the word of God, that you may do it. Behold, God says, I have set before you today... life and good and death and evil. In that I am commanding you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands and his statutes and his judgments, and you shall live and multiply, and Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you are going in to possess it. Now this is not hard to figure out. He says, I've set before you today. Look at this. Behold, I said before you today, life and good, death and evil. Now there's two plans. There's two paths here. The life and good path or the death and evil path. That's really hard, isn't it? Well, we're expecting something really deeply. Come on, get it together. We want something really deep here. Anybody can look this up and see this. That's right. Why haven't we? Folks, it's simple. What we used to call legalism, we used to call religious legalism. You know what that was? That was man's way of trying to get men to walk in the good and life path. We regulated it, made it into a religion that says, now walk in this, don't do anything different, and then we just watch it. Make them walk it. Make them walk it. Didn't work. Didn't work. Burned people out right and left. Made people all offended and mad and junk and crud, and that is just bad news. We tried to regulate through man's system God's path. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you what the path is. Your choice to walk in it, not mine. I won't stand before God for you. Praise Jesus. I will only stand before God for me. Hallelujah. What's going to happen? I have the choice to walk in life and good or death and evil. Simple. But here's the deal. Whatever path you walk on, the consequences of that path are going to be yours. Now, out of my love for you, because I don't want to see you killed. I don't want to see you damaged. I don't want to see you walking through this junk and crud. I'm going to give you the word of God saying, here's the ancient path. It's a good path. It's life. and it's good. Walk in this one. I'm going to want you to walk in it. When you don't, I may come and talk to you about it and say, hey, look, you're choosing a bad path. Now, this is me as the watchman on the wall telling you that there's stupid stuff happening that you're choosing, and I'm trying to get you out of it. It's not because of my legalism. It's not because of me trying to control your life. It's my love for you saying, get off this path that's killing you. And when God convicts you, it's not because he's trying to take away all your fun. It's because he knows what you're playing with is a snake that is going to kill you. And he doesn't want that. So he convicts you and says, get off that path and get on a good one. Why do we make this so bad? He's just trying to keep us alive. He's trying to give us joy. He's trying to give us all this beautiful stuff that he has. He says, now get off this stupid path and get a brain. Can you say that in church? I just did. The next verse says, but if you turn away your... Now, one more time. You can read this part. You only get one word, okay? You can do that. Here we go. But if you turn away your... What did we talk about this morning? Hardened heart. What happens when you turn away your heart? You harden it. The issue has always been and will always be the heart. If you turn away your heart and do not listen and are drawn on, and even you will bow down to other gods and serve them, I have declared to you today, you shall surely perish. Certainly perish. He says, you keep walking that path, it's going to kill you. I'm just telling you, that's the way it's going to work. You keep walking it, it's going to kill you. Okay? You will surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land, which you are crossing the Jordan to go in there to possess it. What was the issue? The issue was their heart. Had a problem in their heart. He says, now look, guys, it's all about your heart. It's your choice. Which one are you going to choose? Well, then he gets really crazy. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. Now, before we get there, let's talk about that. I call heaven and earth as witness before you today. What? The kingdom of God, heaven, and earth, the physical kingdom, are all proving to you what's going to be true. Now, you know it's true. Have any of you ever gone down to a rescue mission and dealt with people who are blatant, in-the-gutter alcoholics? I have. Isn't it a glorious life? Going down there and you wrap your arms around a guy that has lost all bladder control, has lost all colon control, messed himself in every way, has not showered, he just reeks. I've been around people who you get close and you can't even take a breath. It's so bad. Your eyes sting and water from the smell that's coming off of them. Ain't it glorious? Why do we? You know, what is the deal? They got caught in a trap of death and evil. And that's the path they're on. And it's killing them. That doesn't make them any less valuable. There's still a blessed person in there who Jesus loved and died for. You got to understand, it's not about condemnation, but you can sure see it killing them. If they stay on this path for any more length of time, you're going to find out their liver is going to explode. They're going to die. I've been around drug addicts. I know what that means. I know what that looks like. I've been around sex addicts. I know what that means. I know what that looks like. Guys, you got to understand, God is telling us, don't do this because it's killing you. There's a better way. Oh, hallelujah. Then he says this. I love this. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. And by the way, there's a whole bunch more there that I can't tell you. You know why? Because this morning you said you didn't like science. All right. Wasn't that nasty? I'm not a repentant.
That's pretty good.
Okay, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Wow. He what? He set before us life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, you and your seed, to do what? There's a purpose of living. To love Jehovah your God. To listen to His voice. Remember that statement? You and I will talk later. To listen to His voice. You know where I'm going. You know I'm right. And to cleave to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which Jehovah has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them. This is cool. Life, death, the blessing, and the curse. Now let's look at how this works. I want you to watch this. Life, the opposite is death. Good, the opposite is evil. Blessing, the opposite is cursing. Interesting. They are connected. How connected? You want death in your life? You curse it into existence. You want evil in your life? You curse it into existence. You see, the curse is the power of your speaking creation being done negatively in the wrong realm. The power that He has given you to create is now being used to create wrong, to create bad. And we do it all the time. But you want life? You want good? How do you make it happen? You create it by the spoken word that you have the power of, and you bless it into existence. They're starting to stare at me. Do they stare at you? Just one of those little... I've always wanted to stare back, just to see. The heart. Remember the heart? The heart was the connection between the spirit and the soul. Watch this. These are life principles of power. This is the lack of the life principle power. Because of the hardness of heart, this is what happens. God gave us these, and because of the hardness of heart, we're getting this. The hardness of heart creates a whole new universe that we live in. But the problem is, we're so good at living in it, we don't see any problem. Am I making sense so far? You still with me? You haven't fallen asleep or anything? Cool. Hey, when you keep the supervisors awake, you got something. I'm just a brother in the Lord. When you keep the brothers in the Lord awake, amen, brother. It's the choice of pathway, isn't it? Which way are you going to walk? It's a choice. Now, you got to hear this. Sin is always a choice. It is never something that is pushed onto you. You always make a choice. Now, I know people say, I've had women in my office who said, really? I was raped. Sin was pushed on me. Really? It's not a sin to be raped. It's quiet in here. It's not a sin to be raped. The sin is how you respond to it. You have a choice. You hold that damage against the person that raped you, and now you have made the choice to sin because you don't have the authority to judge him. And as long as you have the unforgiveness against him, he owns you, and he is raping you every single day, continually in your mind, continually in understanding, continually in your emotions, and you are being destroyed by the actions of a man that you don't have to be destroyed for because God has given you the power to forgive him. And unforgiveness is us eating a poison hoping the other person gets sick. So I have helped women who have been raped forgive the creep that raped them and end up loving the man who rapes them and bringing them before God and seeing God change their lives so that all the defilement that happened to them was washed away. They have a memory of it, but they don't have the pain of it. They don't have any of the defilement of it. And they can walk away free and clean and love the man that did that and then minister to any woman that has been raped. Why? Because by a choice, we chose to walk in life and good, and we started speaking the blessing instead of the curse. I got to preaching right there. Just want to let you know. I can feel the difference. I'm just even doing it. Okay. If I let loose, brother, it's going to be interesting. Okay. Blessing. The whole idea is the blessing. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. If I had brought any of my books that I've written, and I were to give you one, and you'd say, would you please sign it? Whoop-de-doo. I would sign it. Lee, Eddie, and underneath, I would put Ephesians 1:3. I have always done that. Why? This is my verse. This is my verse. This gets me so riled up. This is my verse. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed, past tense, done deal, blessed us with every spiritual blessing possible. Where? In the heavenlies. Where? In Christ Jesus. I have it all. I am so blessed, I can hardly even stand myself. If you say, we understand. Not standing you. It's all good. No, listen, folks. I am blessed beyond my understanding of what blessing is. You are more blessed than you've ever known. How blessed are you? And yet, each one of us is waiting for somebody to walk up to us and speak the blessing. We're still waiting for it. We're sitting there going, I'm not blessed. I'm not blessed. I'm waiting for somebody to walk up and just look straight at me and say, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are the blessed of the Father. You are awesome. There is nothing on you of this curse. You are the blessed. Feels good, doesn't it? We're waiting for it. Why are we waiting for it? Because we haven't heard the blessing of the Father because we're not listening. If we listened, if you listened, what would God the Father say to you about your blessing? He'd say, well, it's almost there. I'm waiting for you to get a little bit of your act together and I'll pour you a little bit more. That's the way we feel. But that's not the reality. The reality is this. Every blessing that God has, everything He has already been poured out into your spirit. You already are the blessed beyond measure. There is nothing you need more. You are already blessed. How blessed? Fall apart blessed. I mean, you're just... How do you explain? I am blessed. And I don't need man's blessing to prove it. Because I've heard it from Him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the specific spoken word of God. When He speaks to you, you're blessed. What happens to your faith? Your faith is that you are blessed and you are blessed. What can you do then? Because you are blessed, you can bless. And this is what people say. I don't know. I can't bless others because nobody's ever blessed me. Wrong. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Who have blessed you? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Look at this verse. Are you blessed or not? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Wow. Okay. He has blessed us with absolutely everything. Our spirit man is totally blessed. Totally blessed. We are in Christ. In the heavenlies. I said more than you're getting. I said more than I understand right there. I think this is awesome. I am in Christ Jesus and I am... Okay. I'll just throw this out. This is a little mind-blower thing. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus at night. Nicodemus comes to Him because he's kind of freaked out about everybody. doesn't kind of slides in on the shy. Talking to Jesus. And Jesus said this one verse. Look it up. It's in your Bible, just like it's in mine. It says, "No one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came out of heaven." And then he says something really weird. He says, "And who is in heaven?" He's looking at Nicodemus and he's saying, "I am standing right in front of you, but I'm telling you something. I am right now in heaven." He had learned to walk in the kingdom so greatly that all the principles of heaven which are available are standing in him right now as he's in the physical, and he is standing in heaven having all the kingdom available right now in front of Nicodemus, standing right there. He says, "I've ascended, I've descended, and I am right now in heaven." He did not operate as the Son of God. He operated as the Son of Man. He is telling us that you can right now have been ascended and descended, and you can even right now, just like I am right now standing in heaven, I am touching the kingdom of God. I am housing it. I am filled with it. I am able to actually reach out my hand and do something with the kingdom of God, and so can you. Why are we stopped? We are extremely powerful. Fact is, I think I just said that. But we have a problem. Oi, do we have a problem? The problem is, anybody see that? Remember that? Vaguely? Did you have a very long lunch? Can't remember? Okay, did that this morning, right? The choice of the will. Very, very important. What happens if I choose to walk in sin? Then I walk in death. Wait a minute. What was the choice God gave? He said, walk in life or walk in death. He gave us the choice. When I choose, where's my little button? When I choose to walk in, I choose to walk in the sin, then what do I choose? Death. Simple, isn't it? That's exactly where we were this morning. Well, where's the heart? It's the connection between the soul and the spirit, and the attributes of God are right there. So the things of the spirit are supposed to make it into my soul, but because of wounds and choices, the hardness of heart, what happens? Cut to the chase. The things of the spirit can't make it into my soul, and because of that, I can't see who I am in the spirit. Who am I? Well, what is it? For me to not receive the things of the spirit means that's a curse, isn't it? That's death. That's evil. That's the curse. The places where I am able, that's the places where there's life and good and blessing. It's exactly right. Where is life? It's in the Spirit. Where is the good? It's in the Spirit. Where's the blessing? It's in the Spirit. I could walk in those principles there. Therefore, when I choose to walk in sin, what am I gaining? I'm gaining death, I'm gaining evil, and I'm gaining curse. You say, well, that's not much of a gain. No, it's a great deficit. It's a huge deficit. But we think it's a gain because it's gaining to the flesh. Wow. That also goes right down into the body. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to just probably make somebody interested. Anybody here have anything, need for healing? You got a physical issue? You know why you have a physical issue? You ready for this? You have that physical issue because you talked it into existence. Chances are, you cursed it into existence. You say, don't put this on me. Let's think about this for a second. Have you ever said, I have diabetes, I have headaches, I have arthritis, I have yada, 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 a whole medical dictionary, I have. Did the right people come? You have it because you spoke it into existence. See, that didn't make any friends right there. That was not making friends on that one. That is That is just a few. How dare you say that to me? No, it's not hard for me to say that to you. I did the exact same thing. I sat there as I've been studying this and I've been realizing, I sat there and said, Lord, would you show me what damage my mouth has caused? I call that dangerous praying. Because that's a prayer that God will always answer and it's going to cost you. Dangerous praying. Lord, what did I cause? What damage did I cause? He started showing me the damage that I had caused my own life. Things I've been fighting for years and years and years. And I knew that this was important, so I didn't want to flippantly just go, just start throwing out blessings indiscriminately. No, I said, okay, I'll wait. So I waited until I was completely alone with not having a chance of anybody messing with me. I went into the church because that was the place I could go early on a Sunday morning because everybody else is home getting dressed and everything and they don't come early. I found that out to be true. It's mine. It's my place. Okay? I sat down in front of the church. Not because it's a place that's more holy. And see, it's none of that religion. I could do this anywhere. You can do this in an outhouse. I mean it. Because I am touching the kingdom of heaven wherever I am. We've got to get rid of the religion stuff. It just doesn't, okay. But I used the church because it was warm. Hallelujah. And it was quiet. Amen. And it was private. At the house, everybody's getting ready and it's all chaos and, you know, like normal houses. I got in the church. I sat down there and I went, okay. I had already worked up the list of the things that were having, I was having problems with in my body. And I said, Lord, I spoke this into existence in my life. Will you please forgive me? You see, it's all about there, isn't it? And then I listened to what he had to say because it's not enough to say, will you forgive me? I have to hear from him whether he forgives me or not. That's the biggest key to most of us. We've asked God to forgive us for all these things, but then we walk away. It's rude to ask somebody a question and not listen to the answer. So you've got to listen to the answer. Has he forgiven you? If you haven't heard it from him, you don't believe it. And that's why we've repented for the same sins over and over and over and over and over. And we just don't feel forgiven. Well, shut up long enough to listen to him. Did he forgive you? So I listened. Yes, I forgive you. You know what he said? He says, I've been waiting for this. I've been talking to you about this for a long time. I've been waiting for this. He was waiting to get me free. All this time I've been screaming, God, why did you set me free? And he was saying, I can't. You're cursing yourself so much, I can't bring you my blessing. You've chosen the wrong path. So I had to sit there and repent. And then I started doing exactly what I'm going to be showing you. Because it has to be changed. The curse. The fall of man into sin. When man fell into sin, the curse was active. That's all there was to it. That was, what was good became broken. Man, the Garden of Eden was awesome. Awesome. We still don't know how awesome. We don't get it. But it was absolutely more awesome than we can possibly imagine. But what was positive became negative. What was beautiful became deadly. There's just, what happened is just absolutely heart-wrenching what happened when sin came in. The curse was established at that point. The curse was made. Jesus had to redeem mankind in every single way. He had to redeem man. What does redeem mean? To be bought back better than it was. He had to pay the price. We talked about it clear back when he had to kill animals to cover Adam and Eve. He was talking then. He was giving a picture of blood had to be shed for this thing to be dealt with, and he put himself in. That man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh and all that. But he took to Satan and he says, you'll crush his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He was looking forward to how Jesus was going to crush the head of Satan on the cross. And how did he crush his heel? The heel bone is the main thing that gets bruised when a person is crucified. Absolutely amazing. It was speaking forth what was going to be happening. I love it. God's ways still had blessing in them. He kept choosing. He kept telling, make the choice. Come to me. That's all there is to it. Mankind had to choose what he was to do. Mankind had to choose which he was to do. Which way? Mankind had to choose that. The curse is very real and it's not to be ignored. It's very real. Now, we know that it sounds like it's just a scary movie. The curse is on the town. You ever read Frank Peretti's book, The Oath? One of the best books ever written. I love that. But we read it out loud to our kids and just watched them just walk in abject terror for a while. Why does that please me? That's a sick man, that's all. I can tell you, I just enjoyed watching them go through. But the ending was really cool. Okay. The curse was on the town. They had made an oath, and the curse was upon them. You know? We see this, ooh, it's the curse. He's scary. I heard that. He's scary. If you had any idea. Okay. But we're modern now. We're too smart to believe in curses. We're so smart we have television. There's no curses. Are you kidding? Right? That makes us too deceived to understand the truth. How much curse are we walking in? We need to understand how to fight this thing. We need to look at this thing. We must know how to overcome the curses that we're in. We have them if we believe in them or not. Okay? You don't have to believe in something for it to be true. Okay. Know your enemy's weapons better than he. Oh, Satan knows how to know to get us into curse. So I've got to know curse better than he knows curse. I've got to know how this thing works. We are to be victorious and overcomers through this whole area. So here's the way it goes. Here we go. There's two kinds of curses in the scripture. There's the curse of the law. And we've got this through all of religion. We get this one. If you don't act correctly, then the curse comes. You do bad things, it's going to come on you. How dare you? Yeah, amen. I'm with you. Yeah, that's right. Stepping into the curse by action. The curse of the covenant. That's all that Deuteronomy 28 through 30, all the things about these things will happen to you if you walk in those things. You'll be blessed coming in and blessed in going out. Have you ever noticed that blessed takes about 10 verses? Curse takes about 35 verses, I think it is, something like that. The curse is on and on and rambles on and on and on. It just scares the brains out of you. Oh, God, I got to walk in the covenant, right? With the curse, ah! Okay? Yeah, it was right there. But the Galatians 3, 10 through 14, said, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And all of a sudden, something really big happened. Jesus came along. He fulfilled the law and took all the curse. One more time. Jesus came along and fulfilled the law and took all the curse. He hung on the tree so I don't have to. He took all the curse. He became a curse so that I could have the blessing. He became sin so that I could become righteous. Wow, this is pretty important. He became the curse so he could break its power. Now in Christ, all the curse is broken. It's no longer the curse of the law. But we do have this, the curse of malediction. Oh, what? What was that? Malediction. Mal means bad. A grand mal seizure. What's that mean? A big bad. Big bad seizure. It's a grand mal wolf. It's a big bad wolf. Okay. Hard to mix these things up. It's all good. Okay. Big bad. Malediction means, and diction means to speak. The curse of malediction means to speak bad. So what is the blessing? Eulogio, to speak good. Interesting, the malediction is still there. Speaking bad. The word antilogia, contra anti, against, logos, just like eulogio, logos, the word, spoken word, anti, the contradiction, the speaking against. That's one of the words. How about this one? The katara, it's an imprecation, an execration, a curse. People go, what do those words mean? You just go ahead and look them up. It means bad stuff. It means to speak bad against somebody, to curse them. It's like, you know, like what you say when that guy cuts you off in traffic. that one. See, the right Christians came, huh? Do you mean we're supposed to act like Christians in traffic? Oh, God! Okay. Katalalia. Lalia, to actually speak. Kata, down. It's the down speaking. To speak defamation, backbiting, slander, to speak down about somebody. All curses. I think it's really kind of fascinating. There are 8 words for curse, and there's 7 for blessing. Curse is like, I mean, one of those things that I don't know if it's true or not, that there's some 30 different words about for snow in the Eskimo language. Hey, they know snow. You know? Hey, what kind of snow is it? They'll tell you an exact point of what kind of snow is happening outside right now. I know the difference. I mean, really, there's a lot of this. Is it snowing? Eh, kinda. That's not really snow. It's just dinking around. And I'll say, now it's snowing. Now it's no longer snowing. It's slushing. Oh, I don't like those very much. Your trees just all, trees break. You can't get anywhere. It's all slushy, bad news stuff. Okay. It's all about the different nuances and shades, but it still all boils down to the cursing. It tells us much about how we speak, doesn't it? God has all these words for blessing and cursing. Why? He wants us to understand the power of all of this. Romans 3 says this. All turned away. They become worthless together. Not one is doing goodness. Not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. It's about their tongue. Mouth full of cursing and bitterness. Unregenerated heart. He's talking here of the sinners. The idea here is that the understanding is, man, sinners will do what? They're going to speak the sin that's in them. Then why are we talking the way they talk? If they're speaking the sin within them, then what should you be speaking? The righteousness that's in you. You've got to learn how to speak different than they. That's what we were redeemed from. Why are we talking like that? We've got to be careful, not do that. What are we looking out for? We're looking out for our sin. That's what. Proverbs 18:21, one of my very fascinating passages, says this. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Meaning what? The tongue has the ability to manipulate death and life. It's in the hand of the tongue. The tongue can do something about it. And he who loves it shall eat its fruit. Man, there's power in what your tongue is doing. You have the power to speak life or death. Into whom? Everyone. That kind of narrowed it down, didn't it? You know? Into whom? Everyone you meet, including the guy you see in the mirror. Okay? Why were we given this huge, great responsibility? Well, because we're representatives of God on this planet. He gave us the authority, put us on this planet, and says, now change the thing. We are still doing what God gave Adam and Eve the thing to do. He said, now take the earth, subdue it, conquer it, have dominion over it, because it was already under all sorts of bad news and junk. And he gave it to them, but they chose to give their authority under the sin that was on the planet, so they weren't doing it anymore. So God had to redeem man, so that what is your thing now? Doing the same thing that was given to them back then. Let's subdue the earth, overtake it, and conquer it through the power that he's given us because he gave us the authority to do it. Can I kill a sacred cow? What's a sacred cow? A sacred cow is this thing that sits out in your field and eats all your produce and everything, and you won't kill it to eat it. Okay? It's a sacred cow. Now, we're going to kill a sacred cow right here. Is God in control? No. No, not even close. Say, what? Of course God's in control. Really? Then why do you sin? If God is in control, you wouldn't be sinning. So who's in control? Oh, no. You are. Oh, God. Who makes the choices? You do. Is God in control? See, this is that trap is what gets us into all these problems. Where was God when this guy walks into a school in Connecticut and kills all these kids? You mean the God that you have ushered out of the schools and ushered out of our society and also out of that God, the one that you weren't allowed to do anything, and then when this happens you're saying, where's your God? Well, if he were your God, you wouldn't be asking that question. Where is God? Standing right there. He's limited himself to what happens on this planet and gave that authority to you. So if you want God in your home, you have the authority to bring him into your home, but you have the control of this thing. You're the one that has to bring him in. And every time you choose to walk in sin, you're telling him to take the door. We have got to bring God into these things. Until we submit it to him, he's not in control. But the areas that we have submitted to him, we give him control. Only to the point where he still says, you have to choose me. Did we kill that sacred cow? Well, I think we shot that one right dead. Okay? God is not in control. Fact is, I think Alex's shirt says that. Doesn't it? It does. It has a controller of the games and it says God is in control. I saw that today and I laughed. I do pay attention, folks. I do. I really watch what goes on around me. That's a kind of a good thing. Okay. We have the authority on this earth. We have the authority. We're the only ones who can use it here. God says, now I give you the authority. Now use it. Use it correctly. Proverbs 26:2 says this. You'll love this. As the wandering bird is a swallow and is flying, so the causeless curse can never come. He said, did you turn a corner somewhere? Now listen. Listen close. As the wandering bird is a swallow and is flying, so the causeless curse can never come. This is amazing. What is a curse without cause? What's a curse without cause? Well, curse without cause is if I'm a blessing person, then every curse is a curse without cause. But if I'm a cursing person, that curse has cause because I have given it authority in my life. If I'm a cursing person, curses can happen to me. If I'm not a cursing person, curses can't affect me. Now, this is crazy. See, I can walk in anywhere, it doesn't matter, and people can curse me all they want, and guess what happens? Nothing. You say, well, that's pretty cocky, Lee. No, it's Bible. A curse without cause cannot land on me. A curse without cause cannot land. If I'm not a cursing person, curses can't affect me. How would you like to have the ability to never be affected by a curse? Yeah, then the idea is quit speaking them. Curses come to their own. It's simple. If you're a cursing person, curses can come to you. A blessing person cannot be cursed. I like this. What did God say? He told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will bless those that bless you. I personally will curse those that curse you. It's not up to you to deal with the cursing or anything. Are you blessed? Yeah, I'm a blessed person. What happens? God himself will bless me. If I'm a cursing person, God himself will curse me. Where does it say that? Hey, did you know that in the Bible it says a proud person, God himself will stand against you? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble? How long have I gone? Am I too late? Am I okay? Is it hot in here? I am cooking. I am just cooking. I feel like I'm just on fire, but my wife is going, what else is new? I'm getting to preach mode, and man, the furnace starts going. And I, if you're receiving a curse, look inside, because if you're receiving a curse, you can only do it if you're a cursing person. So we got to change things here, don't we? See, we got a lot of change to do to become a blessing person. We have cursed, therefore we open the door. We help the enemy attack us. Here's a big stick. Would you hit me with that right there? Thank you. We haven't seen the power of the blessing. We just haven't seen it. Because we've not walked in it. Our mouth has done its damage. But we fit in with the cursing culture. See, they don't see any difference. They just see you're the same as everybody else. You're a cursing person. We're all cursing persons because that's the culture. Yay! Let's just go out and curse. You say, we've never seen anybody actually curse. Have you ever watched the crowd in a football game? Whoa. Do we curse our own team? Yeah, all they have to do is just not do what you want. Hey, stupid quarterback, what's the matter for you? Don't you know better? You don't run on third down and long, you pass the ball. What's wrong with you? You big idiot. You just a curse and a curse and a curse. And we think it's normal. And we encourage each other to do it. We even high five. Yeah, that was a good one, man. We must change the course we've been on. We've got to change the path. Choose which path you're going to be on. We must change our hearts first, and then change our mouths. Okay? Am I still making sense? Everybody with me? We've been redeemed for more than just this cursing thing. We've been redeemed. Matthew 5, 42-45 says this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Oh no, really? Bless those cursing you. No, that's not easy. Actually, once you start seeing it, it really is easy. Because it's funner. If funner is a word.
Did you say that,
church? I can be asshole. You're late. I like it. It's fun blessing people that curse you. It gets them ticked off. So. And you really, you bless them and bless them. And the more you bless them, the madder they get. It's just so fun. I have a warped this look at what fun is. This is going to be fun. And then I bring people through all the healing of their pain and anger, and they go through all this trauma and turmoil and everything else. And I say, wasn't that fun? You're warped, you know? You're a sad, strange man. I don't know. But I think it's fun because the outcome is awesome. They walk away from all their junk. That was fun. The process was kind of tricky, but the outcome was fun. It's not enough to bless those blessing you. No, we got to do something even greater. So this is huge. We get to change the entire atmosphere. People come in cursing, and we get to change the whole atmosphere to where it's a blessing atmosphere. How neat. You guys have a town council? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need your blessing. They don't need you getting all ripped snorty on them about what they've said and done. Why don't you bless them? Are you on the council? You've been setting yourself up for this for a long time. Left-handed or not, buddy. You know what he needs? I'm not going to ask your wife because she'll give me a laugh for what you need, buddy. Okay, here's the deal. You know what he needs? He needs to be blessed with wisdom. Because when he's in that council, he's in there and he may be the only person who's hearing from God on that council. I don't know who else is on that council. But I'll tell you, politics requires somebody with wisdom. And listen, we've just been through a whole election process, and I don't really care where you stand on who, what candidate and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, but what does matter to me is, did you bless or did you curse? Now, we have a president who today was inaugurated. Today, he's been placed by the law of the land to be our president for the next 4 years. Now, you can curse him if you wish. You really can. It is your choice. But I'll tell you something. You better bless him. The Bible says, pray for those who are in authority over you that you may live a life of peace and quiet. Even President Barack Obama can be blessed, and his way of thinking can be changed to be helped this country. But it's only if the people who are blessers will bless him. How much power do you have? More than you know. Just killed the whole political process right there in one fell swoop. Wasn't that fun? Had a guy come, and he and I were not on the same point of a political point of view. And he says, who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to vote for? And I said, look, it doesn't matter what I think. I have to ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to vote? It has nothing to do with my intellect. It has to do with I have to follow the Word of God. And if God wants this country in a certain place to be in a place where He needs the Christians, He may use a real wrong person in there to bring us to that point. So I've got to listen to God. That's it. I told him, I said, I double dog dirty dare you to go into the voting booth and sit there and say, Lord, do you want this one or this one? And then mark whichever one God points out. I dare you. Oh, he was mad at me. A week later, I see him and I says, huh, how'd it go in the booth? I'm not speaking to you. You chose the other guy, didn't you? God told you where to vote. He says, I'm not talking to you. What? I love it. In Luke 6, 27 through 28 says this, but I say to you, those hearing, now that was, by the way, that's a big deal. I say to you, those hearing, not I say to you, everybody, because only the ones that are hearing are going to hear this. I say to you, those hearing, love the ones hostile to you. Oh, that's easy, huh? By the way, these are all in command form. These are not suggestions. Love those, the ones hostile to you. Do good to those hating you. Bless those cursing you and pray for those insulting you. Now, we've heard these for forever. Huh? This has been in the Word for a long time. We've heard this. How often have we practically applied this? If somebody is mean to you, what do? I'll bring up probably the cutting you off in traffic. I had a friend who's driving down the road, two-lane road. Now in Colorado, a two-lane road, it's really tricky to pass somebody on a two-lane road. If you go to illegally pass somebody, you could find yourself face-to-face with a truck coming around a corner. So it's really tricky. I mean, it's none of this you can see for 5 miles. You can't see for 50 yards most of the time, okay? Just like, and so this guy comes up in his big old car up behind him and just right on his bumper, flashing his lights and honking his horn. My buddy Craig says, oh yeah? And he backed down 10 miles an hour. Okay? The Lord kind of showed up in Craig's car. And says, what are you doing? Well, he says, you pull over right now. Pull over. So he says, okay. He pulled over and the guy went past him. He says, Lord, and he says, you don't know what's happening in that man's life, but you presumed that you were more important than him. He says, you don't know what was happening in that car. That man's wife could be having a baby in the back seat and you caused her to give birth to a baby with a cord around his neck and die. You don't know. And yes, it could be that he was just a pushy businessman that just wanted to get you out of the road because he thinks he's better than you. Which means what? That man needs prayer. He says, and you'll sit right here on the side of the road and you'll pray until I release you. And you'll pray for him, and you'll pray for his family, and you'll pray for his car, you'll pray for his business, you'll pray for his manners, you'll pray for everything, because that man needs prayer right now, and you kept him from it. And the one person that I was going to bring in his life to bless him with sat there and cursed him with, you're not any better than I. You pull off the side of the road and you pray. It says it changed his entire habit of driving. How about you? You see, we think we're in our own little world in the car. We're wrapped in steel and maybe we can say anything we want about people. No, you can't, because you're part of the kingdom of God. And you have a responsibility to be the Christian on the road. Okay. Do we still love Lee? Okay. Start messing people's driving habits. They'll take you out back and pray for you in Jesus' name. All right. None of this can be done by the flesh. It takes requires you to walk in the Spirit. None of that can be done in the flesh. An amazing weapon to effect change. As soon as they come against you, come for them. What's it going to hurt? You are already blessed. But until you know who you are, you're going to be susceptible with people who tell you something different than what you think. If they say you are ugly, if you don't know your beauty in Christ, then that's going to be an insult and you're going to respond to being ugly. Who are you? You got to know who you are, and it won't matter. Well, you're just not much of anything. Big deal. I got nothing to prove. You're not as good as I am at this. Listen, I like to play instruments. I play all sorts of instruments. I play drums and guitar and bass and keyboard and harp, hammer dulcimer and harmonica. And I'm not good at any of them. But I love them all. I play them. I play at them mostly. I play them. I just enjoy them. There's something that's so awesome when you're playing the bass and you enhance the whole thing because your bass has helped the worship. Oh, God, that's awesome. I run into people who play bass better than I do all the time. I got nothing to prove. You want to play bass instead of me? Play bass. I just encourage you, do it for Jesus and don't do it out of your pride. Come on, let's enjoy. One of the deepest worship experiences I've ever had was a guy who was horrible at guitar and had a horrible voice.